morning.
Morning.
Putting the hot seat out of the gate here.
All right, good morning. Josh Thomas with Delta.
Mayuresh Karevi de Ico.
We also have Drew Boyce, our Director of Planning, here with us, and we're going to call him up a minute to speak. I think it would be appropriate to start off. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into our slides here in a second, but I think it would be appropriate just to address the comments of Mr. Hughes right away, and start by saying that these comments are very important to us. This feedback is very important to us. But as I was sitting and listening, it got me a little bit worried about this chapter and the way we're going to try to wrap it up and make it something valuable for the county. So I would just say that I think, I would caution us as partners in this plan to turn it into a full traffic analysis document. I don't know that it really serves the purpose well, for either one of us. And you're going to see, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes as we get through the slides, is that we are trying to address, the discussions we had regarding data and decisions and how everything works. So we're going to try to talk about that. But, I think what we're doing with this chapter and with the comp plan in general so far is that we are setting ourselves up for future success and better coordination and better follow-up and, better communication on data, on priorities, and then, turning those into projects. We've been talking about this for months. So I guess I'm just starting off by saying, I want us to make sure that we're not kind of spinning our wheels on something that's going to be handled through the implementation of the plan. When we adopt a plan and then we start working on, setting up a committee to have better coordination on, annual priorities, on setting up and building those projects, that's where we can really get into, what kind of data do you want to see on a quarterly basis, et cetera, et cetera. That's something we can set up. And you're going to see that we're trying to make revisions to the chapter that talk about, AADT and future level of service as planning tools. And Mr. Hughes himself just mentioned that, that they're used for long-range planning. But that's what we're trying to do. That's what the mobility chapter is for. We're looking at 2045. And, and obviously, there's been a lot of questions about accuracy and reliability, and I'm not a traffic engineer. But what I can say is that, the data maps that we're presenting in the chapter are accurate in the sense that the way that the data was collected and the purpose that it serves, it's accurate in that regard. Meaning they are averages. We have discussed this. They are averages. They're not going to capture every localized issue that we're discussing here. It's a way for us to look at the long-term trends, where we may want to focus our efforts looking at corridor plans, master plans on the most congested corridors. So I just want us to keep that in mind as we go forward. There are opportunities that we're looking into where we could maybe, could we add in some kind of strategic charts to look at some of the peaks? And that's something we're going to look at doing. We want to make sure that it serves the comp plan well and that it doesn't get, too into, when the public reads the plan, it should be easy to understand. There are plenty of traffic analysis documents we can give out if anybody wants to get to that level of detail. So I guess I'll stop talking about that, but I just want to keep us focused and making good progress.
I mean, let me comment on that just one
second. Sure.
Because I agree with that, right?
Okay.
I don't want to be a mini traffic engineer, right? I raised a lot of questions about the data, so I'll accept that. What I was really trying to get at with those questions is how do you guys think, right? You need to know how we think. If we're going to be partners, right, we got to know how one another thinks. And I couldn't agree more that some of this data just doesn't need to be here, because if I can't understand it, it's pretty. So I agree with we got to get to a philosophy of how we can use what data we can into the comprehensive land use plan.
Right. Let's focus on, you know, what's appropriate for at the comp plan level, and then what's appropriate at project decisions level. And that's the key thing that I would, Janelle, if you could flip the slide for me, please. You know, just briefly, really the purpose of this hour that we have, the short time today, is really just to let you know what we've done on the follow-up items and kind of what we need to do to advance the chapter. So you can see this, I'm not going to read them, but there's a, you know, brief list of the revisions that we've made to the chapter based on our discussions and feedback. And you can see that a lot of it is focused on, you know, we took it to heart when you said, well, you really want to know about the decisions we make and how the data supports it. So we spent a lot of time making revisions. You know, we didn't finish doing everything we want to do. We still got a little bit more work to do, but we spent a lot of time making revisions to a chapter, adding a couple pages in that we thought would be helpful, talking about how the CTP process works, how those decisions are made, and, you know, the different data items that we use to make those decisions. Because, you know, when we're talking about this, it's a complicated puzzle. And we look at, you know, high-level stuff first to get a sense of where to focus. And then when you actually start talking about a concept and develop it into a project, then you've got to get some of the more specific data Mr. Hughes was discussing. We've got to go out and get specific, you know, level of service information and traffic data for a particular project. So that's the part that we listen to, and I think that that's something that does serve the comp plan well, is to explain how, you know, going forward, how the process works and how we can be better partners, you know, such as working with the committee to make that whole process better, the annual process better. So just to keep us on track, the first thing we want to touch on is, because it was also brought up again, that that the comp plan is not important to us. And, you know, obviously I knew that there, you know, that we have language in place that shows that it is important to us, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention today. In the revised chapter, which we sent out to you last week, you know, I'm hoping that you had a chance to review it, because really it focuses on the changes that we just highlighted. But we did put another paragraph, we put a couple sentences in the introduction, because we thought, you know what, it is important to us, but maybe we just didn't say that clear enough. So we did put a couple sentences in there that that touch on the fact that, you know, in a couple different places, it is written that we do, you know, take it seriously. So this first one, I'm not going to read it verbatim, but you can see that a couple times in our conversations, I've brought up the consultation process. And you can see that, you know, it says in there a couple times where, and you can go back and review it, but it does refer to how we use the county comprehensive plan in developing our long-range plans and priorities. And I'm going to bring up Drew here in a minute to talk a little bit more about it.
Should I save my question for Drew?
You can. Let me go through the next slide, and then
we'll wait for the big boss.
don't be throwing no anchors.
So. So, and you also heard me talk a little bit about the prioritization process, and Mr. Hughes talked about it as well too. But so this next excerpt just shows you subsection 8419 of Delaware Code that actually is our you know, regulation to have the formula-based prioritization process. And you can see in that language too, you know, it talks about how the comprehensive land use plan needs to be something we consider, you know, when looking at the criteria in that process. So I just thought it made sense to show you the places where it does, you know, where we do have that language written, and that we did put a sentence in the introduction because we thought it was important. You know, maybe we do need to show that a little bit more. And there's some changes in the 13.3 as well to show how, and we'll get to that. But I'll go ahead and bring up Drew. Drew, if you can come up and say a few words about that, and then we can have some questions. Oh, yeah, I was going to make you stay.
Drew Boyce, Del Dot, Director of Planning. And so we do have a prioritization process that looks at and incorporates land use transportation plans from both MPOs and from Sussex County in the form of the comprehensive plan. I mean, it is part of the decision-making process, how projects come in. My staff works with your staff in identifying the needs that you feel are important to the county. And then we work through a database decision that looks at the things that are important to all of us, which are safety and congestion, and to identify those types of projects that would mitigate those concerns on the system. And so it's a data-driven system. We use level service data. We use crash data to be able to inform those projects that actually get to the funding level. And then those projects that are still out there for consideration, and Mr. Hughes mentioned that there's still a long laundry list of things to do, they remain on the to-do list. They're not that we're ignoring them. There's only so much capacity that we have to be able to make improvements. And so we use the data to inform the process to be able to make the best decisions that we can on where the funding is applied. Specifically, do we use the comp plan? Yes, we use the comp plan. We use the information from your comprehensive plan, municipals, and MPOs to be able to help inform the overall process.
May I ask a couple of questions?
Sure, of course. Okay.
I mean, you've heard a lot regarding the data and the questioning of the data from everybody, I guess, and Mr. Burton and DJ, everybody. So is there area for improvement of the data? I would ask that as a number one question. Is there the data that you're providing is suffice for the needs that you are looking for? Or is there an area to improve on the data that we're getting?
There's always room for improvement, Mr. Arlett, for sure. And we are leveraging a lot of technology to be able to get better data to make better decisions. I mean, I used to pay the university students to ride, get in a van that we paid for, and drive down to the beach every summer, two or three weekends a month, to be able to get travel time data.
I want that trip.
That is
college kid beach. They're paying for it. I'm gone. Sign me up.
That's how we used to do it.
You had a waiting
list. And so very, very much, you know, so you're just looking at a point in time. You're not really taking advantage of, because there could be an incident, there could be a lot of things that happen on that one trip that's informing the decisions of a lot of projects. But now we've got technology that's allowing us to make better decisions. We've got, we're in the process of deploying Bluetooth readers, which allow us to crowdsource. You know, anybody who's got their Bluetooth on their phone, we can basically track origin destination. We can track travel times, and we are doing that. We have a network of Bluetooth out there already. We need to densify the network to be able to get down to some of these local decisions. Regionally, we're okay, but sub-regionally, we still need to densify the network to see exactly how folks are moving in and around. And as we continue to do that, we're going to have better data, which is going to make us to make our decisions more informed.
Okay, because I recall last time we were together, you know, we were given a map of the failing areas, you know, within the county along Route 1, 54. Couple of different spots, you know, that had the red lines, you know, that it's failing, it's not doing well. And the question that I had proposed at that time is, you know, when we get an application that comes before us, and we get to chime in from DLDOT, and we get a letter with no objection, it's like conflicting information. In one sense, you say it's failing, and then the other piece over here, this letter that we get from you guys saying there's no traffic study required, there's not going to be any additional burden, you know what I mean, to the area, but yet the map shows it's failing. So to me, it's like contradictory information that we receive that we are relying on a particular land use decision. And we can't make a decision, we're not supposed to make a decision on personal opinion, we're supposed to make information based on facts, to include your information that we receive. So help me to, you know, I've got two other questions, but help me to figure out how we can work through that one, as an example.
As an example. So as we coordinate with the land use agency on transportation issues, we're bound by our regulation. So that is a document that has gone through public comment. It defines our roles and responsibilities, really what our authority is, as we influence and dictate to private property owners what they can and can't do on the system. And so so in that document, we don't have any hammer, basically, to say that you can't build because of there's a failing system. And so we try to inform the land use agency as best we can about the condition of the system, and then what improvements we think might make things palatable or better, but still with the acknowledgement that there probably are areas that continue to fail. And and so beyond that, we don't have the authority to say no in our regulation. So
right.
If we wanted that, we could work towards that.
Yeah, I was going to say, and just Drew, some context for you. We had the discussion, and basically it was, you know, if we don't have the hammer, could the county have the hammer? Could we have a strategy for that? But then, you know, how would Delta and the county meet in the middle on that? And that's not something that we've addressed in the revisions yet. We were mainly trying to address the data and the decisions portion and set up a foundation there. But that's actually still one of the follow-up items, is to have more discussion. And you know, I'm having some internal discussions at Delta about, you know, what could that look like between us? You know, like, is there any changes we could make? And then, you know, what you could do on your end. So I'm just trying to give Drew some context, since he wasn't here for that discussion.
Yeah. Right. No, and I think the hammer, that ultimately it's going to be three votes or not, right, is the ultimate hammer from the council. But, I mean, we have to make a decision based on the information we get.
Right.
And that's the part that's disheartening a little bit sometimes, because we rely on you, as you know, to make a good educated decision. And I would say so does the community, because the community is saying when they get a letter from DelDOT saying there's no problem, yet there is, because the map shows it's red. And so to me, again, there is a disconnect, and I think we should look at ways to find better ways. Again, getting back to providing the proper data, and ultimately, you know, I wouldn't be against it stating that this area is failing. Does it mean that this council won't decide to still approve it?
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's better accurate information. Is all I'm suggesting,
right.
Is
right.
That
we can
versus
work to
just
provide
a generic template saying there's no problem.
Right. We can work to provide a more clear information to you as the land use agency,
right,
on those traffic studies. So that's something that we can
that
definitely
would be helpful.
Do.
I think,
right. As far as hammer, you know, what most other land use agencies have done is, which I'm sure has been talked about, is establish, you know, some type of standard or adequacy threshold.
Sure. I think, again, then we can have that other dialogue, you know.
Right, right.
The red means, well, okay, what does the red mean? There's no more? Or does the red mean we also need improvements?
Right.
And what will those improvements look like, and a timeline to those improvements? So I don't want to travel down that pathway, but I'm just saying the red doesn't mean just shut the door on everything at all times, but it gives us more information to be better educated about how we can make a better decision.
That's my point. And that's what I was trying to say. We had to go back and make the kind of larger structural changes to the goals, objectives, and strategies. And now that we've done that in the latest draft that you have, now we still have a couple follow-up items where we could say, okay, how would we word that as a potential strategy? So we still have those couple in there, like we talked about corridor capacity preservation as well. So, you know, we kind of need to make sure we're all on the same page with the current draft, and then we can go back and look at, you know, in short sessions like this, just look at, you know, what do you think about these two strategies? Is it meeting what we've discussed? Because that's something that we would have to implement.
Okay, so that was number one. Number two is, you know, each year we come out with an annual, I don't even want to like to use the word wish list, but a priority list, this council does, and we vote on it and we agree to it, and it floats up to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is because I think this last year I had asked, well, I think Chip Guy presented it, and we voted on it, and the question therefore is, what happens to that list? So, you know, there's a list that we give every year, but there's no follow-up that I see, at least from the county's perspective. In other words, there's no flow chart of, yes, this is in the queue, this has been in the queue for 15 years, and it keeps being on this list. In other words, it's just a list, but what happens to the list is the next question that I have.
So we take the list, and actually we are in alignment. There are some things, now I can't address the specifics, but I can say that you know, we continue to address a lot of the needs and concerns through our maintenance paving program. So I provide an update to Chip on those roads that where the public has said, hey, I need, you know, the condition of my road is not good, and I would like it to be improved.
And truth be told, Drew, it's not just a list to say, see, you guys aren't doing your job. I look at it from almost the opposites in some cases. I would say, look, they are doing their job. Check mark. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a two-way street here. I think it's just, again, more transparency, better communication with each other, right, as a partner. And we can be held accountable to our constituents, and we can say, yes, you are doing a great job, because look at this list right here. They are doing these, or this is in progress, or this is going to be slated in 2 years. It'll be done in 1 year later. So it's not just a list of a gotcha list. To me, it's not that at all. Right. It's just more so of how we can continue to work together and hold each other, I would say, more accountable.
It's a great point. And what we could commit to is just you provide that to us. You put a lot of work into it,
sure.
and we could establish a process and a procedure just to respond to you every year on how. Yeah. How we're doing.
And that's all I would ask for, is just a flow chart of, like, mm-hmm. how are we doing on this list?
Yeah.
Right. Last year's, and even on that list, you know, how long has this been on the list? You know, I mean, it's just information. So that would be wonderful, I would share with you. And I think the community would be very, take that in very positively.
Yeah, we can commit to that.
Right, and Drew, just more context on that, too. We've had those discussions about that being one of the responsibilities of the committee. Is that we would, you know, have kind of like regular reporting to the committee,
right,
based on updates to the priorities, so that a better two-way communication. Because we started talking about improvements to that process well before the comp plan. We said, you know, right, we could probably be doing this better. So and I actually put a new sentence in there last week saying that we have this request and that we there's room for improvement there. So we're just setting it up, saying that that's something we're going to work on.
I just, we just don't want a list just of going through the exercise,
yeah,
and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything, And there's
right.
there's no follow-up.
It's more about reporting, yeah.
So that was my second. One more question, and that would be perhaps the biggest one. And we're here for a comp plan. We're here for this module, and again, I know you guys take it, and I know it's important and it's relevant, but it's not tied to dollars, and it's not tied. At least that's what I'm hearing, I should say. So, every 10 years, the governor signs off, right, on what we vote on, and we have an official, everybody's on board, the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Sussex County Council, mm-hmm. The community, and the governor, i.e. the state. So every 10 years, we go through this exercise. But how do we translate this plan that is approved by all parties and translate it into actual resources and dollars and improvements? How do we translate the effort and everybody's on board versus it just being yet another plan that just sits in the closet or in somebody's drawer, nothing, and the decisions are being made from another mechanism, from another method, versus why are we doing this?
Well, the plan definitely informs the process, and we have.
But how do we tie it to be whereas it is perhaps maybe one of the most, if not the most important pieces of document that provides the strategies and the funding, to the state, to the budget, and to, for that matter, even to our residents. So how do we get more muscle with this comp plan that the governor signs off on to actually apply it to projects and funding?
Right. So the Well, let me back up a little bit.
It's a loaded question, I know. There's a lot there.
So, You know, when I first came into this role, we realized that there was a disconnect between, you know, our planning staff, the county, and so I've worked real hard to try. You know, I've done a whole reorganization under Josh to be able to provide for folks that can then engage with and coordinate with, collaborate with the land use agencies, so we can create a better linkage between the decisions you're making and the transportation that's needed to be able to support that. So we have we've crafted that, we've got that in place. We've got standing meetings between Sussex County planning staff and DLDOT planning staff. We're you know, this plan will obviously be the basis for those continuing standing meetings, looking at development trends and where are things happening. Mm-hmm. And that then informs ideas that will then get vetted up through the county process, that will then get submitted through. But the benefit is that we are part of those decisions from the very beginning and know kind of what's coming, and then can strategize on implementation plans, prioritize, and so I'm excited about, you know, the language that's in here. I think that the you know, I'm not opposed to the working committee or whatever that comprise of. I think that that the more stakeholders, the more input that we can get helping the planners through that process is a good thing, and so my point being is that we're making steps, we're making strides. I think,
and we know that
from the corridor perspective, we are, you know, we've got projects in the CTP. We've got a lot down here, especially in eastern Sussex, that you know, that we're working to try to take down some of these long-standing projects that really didn't go anywhere. I mean, what's happened over the last several years is we've got now sustainable funding. You know, with the federal transportation bill and DLDOT's revenue package that happened, and what I don't think we've been able to do is necessarily realize the benefits of that. Projects take time to get through the process, and so we're going through the same struggle with our contracting community. You know, the money came, they were still on shoestring budget, and so now they're starting to get geared up, and so I think all of this is moving in the right direction. The program is more predictable than ever. We're relying more on data to put the projects through more than ever, and so contracting community's gearing up. You know, they're getting more, you know, buying equipment, buying new equipment. You can see when you ride down the highways the amount of orange barrels, and that's going to continue because we've got this sustainable plan over the next 6 years. The new Fed plan, you know, is interesting. Right. that the administration put out, but we are, you know, whatever comes our way, we're going to be nimble and ready to be able to try to leverage as many dollars as we can get in Delaware.
Are you guys open to, I mean, as I have had several meetings with the group, you know, the SCAG organization and, you know, all those homeowners, and I think everybody, I don't think there's probably nobody in this county, be it somebody who's a sixth generation Sussex County or somebody who's moved here recently or not, but that there's areas of improvement. I think everybody is agreeable to that. So versus, you know, band-aids, you know, micro decisions, you know, there needs to be a little bit more collaborative and cooperative working together with all the stakeholders to have a good result, you know, unlike where we've done today. And I think everybody's on board with that one. So I would offer the suggestion is maybe we could use a test of a certain area of a quote-unquote, you know, I'm not sure if the term is, because this has a lot of different interpretations of quote-unquote a master plan. That has different interpretations by different people, but mm-hmm. It's just really bringing the stakeholders together for a good result. And I would offer the suggestion that we do a microcosm. You know, the county is too big and to do that, but maybe a smaller area to be able to put some focus by all the stakeholders to get that proper infrastructure and yeah, a happy result for all the homeowners. So we would welcome that, and if you guys would be willing to do something like that too.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Five Points Transportation Study, I think that's maybe a good example of our attempt to...
Reactive. I'm talking about proactive. In other words, before it gets real bad, now you're kind of being reactive. The issue's already bad. We would like to prevent that from happening.
So by bringing that collaborative approach, and I agree with you completely, but even though we're, you know, like DJ said, you know, maybe an overpass is not the answer, or whatever the solutions are, I can guarantee you this, is that we are going to be able to do small things through that study because of the diverse stakeholder input that are going to provide some relief, some level of relief to the locals being able to get around. And that's a, you know, and it's because of their input. So I completely agree with where you're coming from. I know that that it's important that they are engaged and involved. We've had many a project go, you know, get to pretty far down the road, and because we weren't fully engaged with everybody, they came to a quick halt. And we don't want that to happen moving forward. So
we talked about that. I know. So yeah. Yep. I agree. Well, thank you. Right. I've taken too much of your time. Thank you.
No, thanks, Drew. I think we're going to roll. I don't need to know that we need to hold you up here unless they have questions. But
I'll be right here.
Yep, have a seat. All right, Janelle. Yep. So we're going to try to keep moving just in the interest of time. Try to use our time wisely. So just to get into more about the draft, so you all have a revised draft that has track changes. So you'll be able to go and see the changes we made. We're just going to go through a couple slides highlighting that for you, you know, try to get your thoughts on that so we can move forward. So... data and maps. One of the first things we did was try to better explain some of the data, like we talked about. So in there, in the chapter, you'll see that we tried to describe AADT as a planning level data set. Talk about how it's really, providing us with sort of system-wide averages, and that there is a use for it, but you know, it's not the only thing, the only piece that we use to make decisions. And of course, there's a couple follow-up items there. The data in the table is accurate based on what we have available from, you know, from our sources. But we're still looking at it to see if, you know, is there something better we could show? We're going to go back and talk to the people responsible for the vehicle volume summary counts to see if there's another way, you know, another explanation that's in the data. So it's something that we're still looking at. Like I said, we really wanted to set up the framework first, and then we're still looking at that. And then, you know, based on what we find, that can be something that you could decide we don't really want to show that table. We just want to show the map. So that's kind of one decision we need to make once we look at the AADT data a little bit more. But we also decided, obviously, joint discussions. We decided to take the travel time reliability maps out. Because they are already in the TOMP document for review, and it was confusing having the different color schemes and all that. So based on that feedback, we did just decide to simplify that and eliminate those from the draft. Did you have any other comments, or did anybody from council have questions?
Yeah, I'll add a couple of things. Basically, in addition to better explaining the role of AADT, what we did is made sure in the chapter that it is not for the operational assessment, because this is for system-wide information basis, operational analysis, and we have been hearing through public comments a lot of things like level of service D and E and F are 35 seconds, 55 seconds, but that's intersection related. That's not a system-wide. So these maps are showing system-wide information. There is no way to figure out level of service for every single intersection within the county. So at the comprehensive plan level, we are trying to show the system-wide information, and that's been clearly indicated in the chapter now through the language. So there is no confusion for readers to figure out if they have some experience actually driving on the road versus looking at these maps. So that clarifies that. And another thing that we decided to take out those travel time maps, because what Drew mentioned, there is not enough density of those Bluetooth readers right now. So although the data is accurate based on where those readers are and what is the length of those segments, it might not reflect the actual driving conditions for few people, because they may be focused on the last mile where they experience the congestion. And the readers may be 10 miles apart, and that's not reflecting that information. So we decided to take that out and make all these maps and data sets more readable and easy to understand for general public. Any
questions on that? Okay. All right. We're going to keep rolling. We also talked a lot about federal programs, functional classification, and you know how they play a part. So we listened there too, and we added a write up on the federal programs and the funding related to that. So you'll see we put a table in there that shows the. Some of the most relevant programs from the FAST Act, from the Federal Transportation Bill, and we also included a little graphic that were shown on the screen from the Federal Highway Administration's functional classification guidelines, because it seemed important to this group and the public here that that there's a lot of discussion between minor collector versus major collector, and what that means. So we tried to make sure that was clear in the plan, so that instead of just having a functional classification map, that we were tying, which programs were eligible, which classifications. So we tried to respond to your discussions on that. So one of the things we're going to do as a follow up, and I think we have talked about this, mm-hmm. we're going to add the urbanized areas to the functional classification map. And that's only not to complicate it more, but it's because when you're working with Federal Highway Administration, they say, and that's what the chart on the screen shows, that there's an urban versus rural. So they'll say, you can have a major collector in urban or rural. So you'll be able to see on the map, is that an urban or a rural link if it touches an urbanized area.
Does that translate to money from the feds?
So you'll see. The state transportation block group, which is the second one down in the top category there, makes the distinction between rural minor collector versus urban minor collector. So, yep. So right there, it's like, so if you're in a rural area and you're minor collector, you may not be eligible. So, there's obviously with us, with the majority of our program being federal dollars, there's lots of specific categories. For the funding that we have to follow. So not to say that we can't go, tweak it and make more revisions, but this was our start to try to explain the link between that classification system and some of the programs that we have available to us.
The FAST money has an end date on it, right? Mm-hmm. What is that?
So that was a five-year bill, correct? Was it five or six? FAST Act?
Five,
right?
Yeah.
So that was 2015 to 2020. So once again, it's amazing how quickly, it just seems like yesterday that, it was put into place and we said, 5 years of funding, and now you're looking, wow, it's already 2018. So obviously we can, Drew mentioned a little bit, we have predictability in our program, but of course we have to be able to respond to the federal program and changes in that surface transportation bill. So before the FAST Act, we had what was known as MAP 21, and that was only 2 years. So, so we had 5 years of predictability, and what we hope for is 5 to 6 years. It doesn't always happen. Realistically, the FAST Act will probably be extended a few times, because that's what seems to happen in Congress. We'll extend it for 6 months, and then we'll extend it for 60 days, and it'll just keep on going for a year or two, maybe, until they do another five-year bill.
Does anything in the comp plan change if the FAST in the writing that's now, with either the FAST Act or the new infrastructure program that they're talking about? Does the writing in the plan need to change at all?
Probably not. The programs that we're talking about here are long-standing programs. Mm-hmm. They've simplified some of the smaller programs and made some changes there. But these are long-running programs. So, if there was a major federal change, we could always amend the document. Right. That's also why we decided we don't want to list every single federal program.
Right. I don't want to write something in there; it's going to expire.
Yeah, we're like, well, these are the largest programs, kind of the majority of our funding. And like I said, most relevant, most applicable to the capacity projects we do. Changes usually involve the amount of funding and how long it might consolidate some of the smaller programs, but probably won't affect you too much. And that's why we try to keep it at this high level of saying, you know, these are the biggest programs, this is how they're related to functional classification, just to make you aware of kind of the money we use. And we also made sure to note something we always say, too, is that the one thing that would change is in the implementation. So if we got more money or there was a program that was more flexible, then we would say, okay, well, let's leverage all the state money first to make sure we can use all the federal money that's available to us. So that would, you know, based on the priorities in the plan, we would go and say, okay, now we have more federal dollars, or we have, you know, or this program changed a little bit, we could. So it's more on the project development side, not the comp plan. We always try to use all the federal dollars first, obviously, right? Because we have to match those funds. We want to use those first to make sure we're getting all that we have available to us. And then anything that we don't need to, as a match to leverage those federal funds, then we, okay, now we have all the state money left to do other projects that maybe are not eligible for federal funding. So that's something we can obviously continue to look at, but I don't anticipate there would be many major changes to the comp plan.
I'm curious because I still don't understand this part, and forgive me for my ignorance, but when it comes to the federal dollars, I mean, I know that we've got the four federal highways in Sussex County, right? You got the Route 1 and Route 9, right? Route 13 and Route 113. So those are the four that I believe designated.
The national highway.
National
highways, yes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Are those the only roads in Sussex County that receive federal dollars?
No, so that's...
Can you explain, I understand how we, explain that one to me, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let me, I know...
As briefly as you possibly can, because of time.
It's, honestly, it's, if you go back, as brief as possible, you said National Highway System, so that's National Highway Performance Program. Mm-hmm. Then the State Transportation Block Grant, right? We've got... That's where you have your functional classification system. So Sussex County has a lot of major collectors and above, you know. So that's a different program where you have federal money. Then you have the highway safety program as well. A lot of the safety, a lot of the intersection improvements that you see down here are related to that program. So, like I said, we look at the programs available to us and the needs and then match them up. So no, it doesn't. It's not that it's only those four roads. That's just one program, and that's a big program, but it's not the only one. And that's what we tried to write up in here. So I would just ask that you pay attention to that and see if there's still something unclear. Let us know, and we can try to add a sentence that clarifies something. But that's what we tried to address in that draft.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. We kind of talked about this already. I don't know that we need to dwell on it, but that's, like I said, we'll make those changes to the map.
One thing I'll just add on that slide quickly, the previous slide, is we discussed about having a strategy to revisit some of the functional classification for the county roads. So we have added that strategy in this document that's 13.1.2.5, specifically mentioning that you can go and revisit and recommend for functional classification change.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you said it. We want to move through it, but we don't want to rush through. That's a key point. We also added on page 26, below the chart that we were looking at, we added on page 26, you'll see in the document, we added some information about federal highways guidance to the state DOTs that says you should regularly review your system. And that we kind of set up the county to say that, you know, that we can do a review of the system, and we can look at roads and say, should they be upgraded, downgraded, et cetera, based on how the system should function. And that feeds into what Myra said about, you know, we can have a strategy saying that's something in our coordination. We can say, you know what, let's do a review of this road for functional classification, or let's this year we're going to look at these three roads. So we did add that in the chapter as well, because that's something that we had discussed.
Hey, Josh.
Yes.
As I hear this, I'm struggling with the idea of should we be considering the changes of the classification of these roads And on more of a non-comp plan conversation, sort of a, as things progress through the county, should we be thinking about that as we see trends? And then back to the comp plan, should we be discussing the process to change these road categories related to our land use conversation? So for instance, you know, we've identified areas where we'd like to see commercial, and we've right. identified areas where there's an ag overlay. Should then that tie back to, well, then we should review the roads in that area to see if they would, if that were to happen on the land use side, if that, if the roads could deal with that change.
Right. I think you, the key point you made is that's more on implementation, because the Federal Highway Administration has the ultimate say on whether we can, you know, whether they approve a change of ours, because as I mentioned before, there's formulas there. You have to have certain percentages of your system. So I think if we set it up on the comp plan by saying that, as a strategy, saying that we can develop a process for that, I think you're spot on. Is that, you know, we adopt a plan, we have a land use plan, we have our system, and then you know, through this coordination, we can say, all right, let's maybe look at these roads based on how they relate to the land use plan. The good news is that the federal guidance actually doesn't say, I mean, it says when there's a census update, you should review the whole system, but it's actually a good thing for us that it doesn't say you can only review it every 5 years. You can review it whenever you want to. Obviously, there's got to be a reason to review it, but you could say, oh, based on the future land use plan, we'd like to review these roads. And so there is a formal, I mean, there's a process in the sense that we would have to work on it together, come up with the reasons why, and then the feds would have to approve it. But the thing that works in our favor is that there's not a formal process like, oh, you can only do it during this month of the year.
Yeah.
So that's something that we can chart that path forward.
I guess from the county's perspective, we don't really have an interest in the category of the road per se. We just have an interest in the roads being improved or the funding sources.
Right, right.
If it means access to funding and that helps the roads, then let's do it.
Right.
But that really doesn't come from the county's perspective.
Well, I just think it goes back to the reporting we talked about. I think that going forward, we could just, you know, okay, here's what's going on. Here's why we were able to use this funding because it's this classification. Just have a more regular reporting to the committee and council. You know, whoever it may be, you know, how the decisions were made, where the money's coming from, so that you're aware of how it relates to the system. Because I agree with you, you certainly don't want to change it just to change it. I mean, it needs to be based on some sound logic. So
I think we got down this rabbit hole just really looking at how do we get more money in Sussex mm-hmm. County.
Yeah,
that's why we're talking about it. If that doesn't need to be in the comp plan, or we're in a rabbit hole we shouldn't be in, then maybe we just move on.
Yeah, I honestly, I think the level that we have it here is enough for us to have those continued discussions. Because
mm-hmm.
Once again, you don't want to get too specific or say, you know, identify one road and then leave the other ones out. We don't want to do that.
Do you, just from my understanding,
sure.
do you kind of know the tripwires that the feds are going to look at to change the classification? You kind of know before you submit the application what they're...
Yeah, they have, there's a whole guidebook on it. So okay. we can look at it and say that would never go because of XYZ. I mean, we, you know, there's, in the chapter, the major versus minor collector chart we included, the figure, says the source of it is the Highway Functional Classification Concepts document. So if you're curious, you can actually go in. We didn't want to put a lot of that in here, but you can go in and look at the Federal Highways guidelines on the different classifications and what that means. So you could actually look and say, you know, that probably wouldn't work because of these guidelines.
Because when you look at future, if you have two or three developments that you know are coming,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
does that, you know, let's start working on changing the classification. Now, I don't know how long the process takes, but if you know if it's possible, then maybe you could alert us and say, hey, you know, you're you're getting close here.
Right, right. That's, like I said, there is flexibility, and there is, it's a good thing that we could establish potentially regular conversations about those right. issues. So to keep us moving along, the last major section that we added was really responding to your thought that we wanted to know more about the decisions and that process. And even though there's documents on, you know, on Deladot's website about that process, we just tried to condense it and put the relevant information in the chapter because it is important to, you know, this new coordination we have and about how we can make sure that we're having better communication about the program. So just at a high level, and that starts on, what page is that?
28.
Yeah, so from 26 to like 28, we have data-driven decisions. And what that shows you is how we're taking the MPO and local government comprehensive plans, how that feeds into the priorities from the different, you know, from the counties, from the MPOs, and how that eventually feeds into different projects we can do, and then how we end up using the technical scores in the prioritization criteria. So we tried to write that up at a level that we thought was appropriate for the comp plan, just to get into what's important, but not too much. And then talk about how the projects are evaluated based on funding and project readiness and things of that nature.
I think this is good and needed.
Okay, great.
I mean, to drive everybody to your website mm-hmm. when they're really wanting to know how the land is.
Oh, right, yeah. And that,
you know, so I think it's...
I scratched my head on that one for a few days because I thought, you know, this is important, but how are we going to make it at that level?
Well,
so
I think you're high enough.
Okay, good. So, and then the last thing for that was the chart, and once again, that's taking a long document that shows all the criteria and the scoring and putting it into a chart. But we're just trying to come up with a summary that shows you, and like one of the key points you can see, for example, is the second one down, system operating effectiveness. You know, we wanted to show, okay, well, we are using comp plans for that. We are using intersection level of service. You know, once again, that it's not just saying based on future congestion in this one map, you know, that we're trying to show a lot of the different data elements that we use to make decisions. So, of course, it's not everything, but it's just showing you a snapshot of that document. So I'm happy about the feedback we're receiving because, like I said, it's trying to keep it at the right level. So luckily, in the time we have left, that's most of it. Mm-hmm. The last thing are the goals, objectives, and strategies. And really, excuse me?
What page?
That starts on, what page does that start on?
47.
Really, that's, and that's a lot to talk about in one slide. Mainly wanted to point out, just pay attention to that, because that is everything we talked about in our last workshop in terms of streamlining and kind of reducing some of the redundancy we had in those in that section. And Myresh, if you want to talk for briefly about kind of like, because you can see in the chart we reduced the number of goals and took some redundancy out to make sure that we had a good concise section.
I think this is all based on the discussion that we had in our last workshop. Whatever we presented, whatever feedback we received from you, we try to basically organize that particular section in that fashion. Main thing, again, the theme was to remove redundancy and maybe combine some of the implementation actions into strategies under capacity improvement. So pretty much everything that we heard in the last workshop has been reflected in that particular section.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
The very first one, 13.1.1, it looks mm-hmm. like you deleted the strategy, well, as objective, improve mobility for local residents and access to local businesses. And then you deleted everything about appointing that committee, and you changed it to say partner with the state legislature and DLDOT to establish a committee to advise county council on DLDOT on recommended transportation improvements in the county. Where does the state legislature come in on that? Because that's not been part of that discussion. It's always been a committee at the county level that would interface with DLDOT.
Right.
I don't want to make this into something that it's not, that adds a level of complication that, frankly, might make it next to impossible to get done.
I think the context for that was some discussion related to the county transportation fund, and there was a comment that that funding mechanism is that will require some approval from the state legislature. And since that is also a part of the committee's, one of the actions that they would undertake, that's one of the reasons why we presented it in that fashion, including both state legislature as well as DLDOT. That state legislature portion was only basically associated with the funding match that was discussed on the county side.
I believe that was one.
Yeah, I would take that
out. Yeah, we could get out and change it and maybe make what you just said a different strategy.
Okay.
Excuse me, under the committee, because that's not the way that's worded.
And I think it was when you remember when Fritz was here doing public comment.
Yeah.
I believe he was talking about having to potentially look at state legislator for the use of the, for the use of the funds. So I believe that was kind of context about when that discussion came up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one concept.
Yes.
And then the committee is another concept.
So we can just remove that state legislation component from there.
Make them two.
Yes.
Yeah, or a subpart, yeah.
Okay.
Josh, I've got a couple of items outside of the strategies, and I think I've heard from council, we're probably going to have to come back to the strategies at some point and
sure.
Go through, maybe as we did on some of the other chapters, to kind of go through with McCormick Taylor, probably circling things that we want to visit on a one-by-one mm-hmm. basis. So can I back up? I thought we were going to jump into. We didn't. Two observations for me. On page 30, it says to kickstart these additional capacity needs, there's a streamlined process to follow these milestones. And it lists within 2 years, 2 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years. Are these milestones established just in this comp plan conversation, or is this some kind of state code, federal code?
They're just for the comp plan.
Okay.
We talked about that was based on our discussions of lack of follow through, or the thought that the last comp plan, that we obviously did some projects in there, but there wasn't enough regular follow through. Once again, that goes back to follow through and reporting. We were saying, well, for the comp plan, maybe we could just try to follow these milestones, because obviously with all the requirements we have to develop projects, we can't say we'll do this in 2 years, but we can say a range of time where we could say we're going to make progress on this. That was just for the comp plan, and so it's subject to discussion.
I would say with the mission of improving transportation projects in the county, listing two to five and 5 to 10 years as our bullseye is not very ambitious or aggressive. Maybe we could try to tweak that to show a little more ambition, knowing that things do take time. An observation that we could discuss at a future date. I also have another question. I thought we asked Drew to come down to speak about this, maybe not, but there's a thought on council about corridor management, corridor preservation. And there's a section just past that on mm-hmm. key corridor visions and related to DLDOT's current corridor capacity preservation program. We had some questions in previous meetings about that, and really, how does that overlap this vision of taking select corridors within the county now and creating a management program? I don't know if we have time. I know we're out of time, really.
I will just say that that's, and I apologize if I didn't mention that earlier, that's we were focused on getting you the draft that shows the new sections to try to tie it all together. What we didn't do is we didn't have time to go back and look at the key corridor visions again. So that's still a follow-up item that we can come back and report on, is that we wanted to look at that corridor vision section again, look at the corridor capacity preservation program language, and then try to make sure it gels with everything else we talked about. So that's one thing we can come back on. Because we did briefly mention that there should be a potential for looking at east-west corridors in the program. Yeah. But we just need to take a closer look at that. So if you're okay with it, we can come back and talk about that again.
I think, go ahead.
We've got Drew. I don't know if that's a Drew question. That's your agency, not mine, so
well,
I don't
and
know.
It's up to you. It's your time, so I mean, it's...
Well, I think the key corridor preservation program is going to really integrate with the next chapter, right? The land use, and having a good study on the corridor preservation, and then have it tie back to the future land use map, is what makes the marriage work.
Yeah, because you remember I showed a slide of the process for that. We just haven't thought about how to write that in here yet. So that, like I said, that's just a time thing. Just trying to make sure this is a good plan. We ran out of time on that.
So I have a question for Josh. So the slide on the corridor capacity preservation program process, because that's definitely something that we can look at. The intent of that was to preserve the capacity of the existing road. I'm not too sure whether that's what we're talking about here. More so preserving the capacity to, or the ability to expand the road to be able to add additional capacity along those corridors. So so we're going to need to get the legalese folks to dive into that regulation to see whether that's a vehicle that we can use or create something different, either through state legislation or through local legislation that accomplishes the vision of preserving our ability to expand these corridors. So,
So all I did for the slide last time was in discussions with Tom Felice, just talk about, all I did was talk about how there's the redesignation process and kind of the current program. And what we said was in the chapter, we talk about how there's existing corridors in there, but the need to look at future and whether that would be one vehicle to do that. So, and that's what I said. We didn't get to do enough with that. We have to go back and look at it. Yeah. So it's something
I mean,
we can...
I love the idea. I think it's a great strategy for the comp plan, and we will support in the efforts to make that a reality. You know, no matter what path we take.
You okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We're done. Next steps. We're obviously going to go back and look at the follow-up items that we discussed, and keep reporting on progress we're making. And so all I would ask is that you mentioned markup of the strategies and things. All I would ask is that if you can take another look at the document, if you highlight those areas you want us to address, we will also go back and look at the follow-up items of those couple different additional strategies we talked about. So we'll look at adding those strategies and also look at revisions to the strategies based on your feedback. So we can come back and have a targeted discussion based on, we're going to discuss these five strategies and that's it, because everything else we're okay with.
Can you send out just the goals, objectives, and strategies, just the markup that you have now? Is that something you can get to Janelle and Janelle can get to everybody?
Sure, we have all that, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Just separate from the rest of the chapter, that might be the easiest step for that discussion.
Sure. Okay. We're done unless you have questions.
We got any questions? You've done a good job keeping on time pretty much here.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jeff. Thank you, guys.
You get a check mark. You got a gold star.
Thanks, Drew, also.
Yeah, thank you, Drew.
Progress.
Yes, thank you very much, Drew. I know you're a busy man.